So, one thing everybody has in here is a name. Do you know why you have the name you have? Is there significance to the name you have? There's places where some people have given names and it doesn't mean, you know, it's nothing real important. But you see that in the Bible we have a lot of names and there's a lot of significance to the names that are in the Bible. And especially, you know, the Indians and some of our primitive tribes, they would have real significance to the name that was called. Are you known by a name other than your name? You have some name that somebody identifies you with. You all know my dad, and he limps. Well, people know him as the lame Sam from Voganville. Or there's a guy over by Brunnerville, Paul Zimmerman, he used to raise peas. Well, I hear my dad refer him to as Peavine or Paul Zimmerman, because there's a lot of Paul Zimmermans around. And I'm sure that there are some other names that people have that you know of that have identification about their name. So as you think about that, are there some things that you think of in a name? Because, you know, in the ancient East and also in the modern East otherwise, the names were very important. Proper names in the Bible are invested with particular significance. The Lord appears unto Jacob and he calls the place Bethel. You know what the name of that place was before he named it? Luz. I didn't know it either. I looked it up. Luz, Genesis 28. You can read about that. But we also see that Rachel dies and calls her son. What's the name of Rachel's son? Benaiah. Benaiah, the son of my sorrow. But the father, Jacob, called him Benjamin. Now this Benaiah name has come to mean a lot to us in our family because my sister's niece has named their son Benaiah. So Benaiah, when we heard about it, well, Benaiah, where's that? Well, then we found out in here. Names reveal much about a person. Parents have 9 months, usually, to have a name for a child. Nowadays, having a child in 9 months means that you may know what sex the child is, and you already can prepare the name. You can prepare the colors of the room, if everybody is right on with their predictions. If not, you're in trouble and you have to change colors, as we knew about somebody. So 9 months. How much time did you spend picking a name for your child? Mm-hmm. Did you buy any books? Get any books to look at names? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that does happen. Well, this morning, we want to have Psalm 46 read for us by the Lord of hosts is with us as. And somebody has that scripture, and we'll have it read. And we're going to be looking at names of God, the names of God, and they reveal the character and his relationship to his creatures. We are his creatures, are we not? Psalm 46, please.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Through the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose stream may glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you. What were we singing this morning? How great is our God? Be still and know that I am God. I think I was in one of our songs too. And when we be still, it said about word of God speak. I think it was in that song. Word of God speak. And if the word of God is speaking, what should we be doing? Listening. Listening. I have a challenge for you. How much time in this past week have you spent being quiet? How much time have you spent actually being quiet and listening? I think that's something for your homework for next week, for this week, is spending time to listen, to listen. We see in the names of God, he reveals his character and his relationship to his creatures. George Parrington says in his book, Outline Studies in Christian Doctrine, new crisis or peculiar needs among his people called forth fresh names. There can be no emergency among believers to which some name of God does not apply. Even human nature and sin, but invoke new and fuller revelations of divine fullness. We see the principal names of God are nine, which fall into three classes of three classes each. Three classes of three each. First, the primary names of God is God in capital letters. God in capital letters. Then the Lord in capital letters. And then the Lord with a capital L and small ORD, which can refer to God or it can refer to man as a leader. The secondary three names compounded with EL is Almighty God, Most High, and the Most High God and Everlasting God. Almighty God, Most High God, and Everlasting God. EL means strength. Almighty God. When you read the scriptures and you see this, and the scripture that was read for us there by Chuck, see the things that were mentioned. What their memories, what our memories go back to because of what we know about what happened in those places in the scriptures. How they bring together and you see what the Almighty God, the Most High and the Most High God, or the Everlasting God means. Then third names that compound with Yahweh is the Lord God, which is Lord, capital letters, and God, capital G-O-D, and then Lord, Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts. That's what we're looking at this morning, the Lord of hosts. The Hebrew is the Yahweh Sabbath. In 1 Samuel 1:3 signifies a host or hosts, which this word refers to a special reference to warfare or to service. When do we see it used? We see Jehovah being used in manifesting his power and his glory. In Psalm 24, we're not too far past that. Psalm 24, We're going to look at verse 8, 9, and 10. Psalm 24. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And then the question. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory, Selah. He is the King of glory, is what we're seeing here. The Lord of hosts. Most of the time, this occurs in the Old Testament as we see the crisis that Israel gets themselves into. Israel is getting themselves into some unique situations, and the Lord of hosts would look out for them. Psalmist cries out, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And then in Psalm 46, now we're going back a little further, Psalm 46, which we just read, let's hear these again. "The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God." The host can primarily here refers to angels, but the name gathers itself the idea of the divine, the heavenly power as available for the needs of God's people. I'm asking you this morning, what needs do you have? What needs do you have? And I believe the needs that you and I have, God has something already for us and waiting. We also see that Yahweh is compounded with seven names or words, which are the following, and we're not going to look at all seven of them this morning in case you thought I'm going to keep you here for a long time. We're going to look at several of them this morning, and some other time we'll look at the rest of them. The Lord of hosts is with us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Genesis 22, 14. What scripture is this referring to? This is referring to Abraham. Abraham and Isaac. God tempted Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." Do we answer our wives that way? "Behold, here I am." How do we answer? Well, here it's referring and answering to God. The respect, the reverence that is due God. I think that's one of the things that I see here that we need to continue to look at so that we might understand who He is in light of who we are. "Take now your son." You know the story. "Take your son Isaac, whom you love, and get to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering upon a mountain one of the mountains which I tell you." So what did they do? They rose up early in the morning and they took along servants. Two young men went with them and the donkey. They had the wood and the fire. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a place afar off. And he told the young men to wait on him and the lad while they go and worship. The two were to wait. Now God had told Abraham this. Just think what was mulling around, because we know the whole story. But what was mulling around in Abraham's mind as he was told to do this? And he knew his son was with him. And it was a special son to him. Was it not? How many sons did Abraham have to that point? So he told the young man and the lad that they were go. Listen to this. They were going to go and worship and come again. Abraham knew what he was told by God. Isaac says the wood he was carrying in the fire, but where's the sacrifice? My son, the Lord, L-O, in all caps, will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. What does Abraham express here? He expresses faith. He expresses faith with all that he knows. How special this son was to them. So they got to the place, and Abraham built this altar, laid the wood down. Then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. I had more time to think about this than you folks did. But what would be going through Abraham's mind as he was doing this? Sacrificing his son. He expressed faith in all this. The obedience of Isaac to be bound by his father, to be the sacrifice. So Abraham is ready to, he has his arm raised to slay his son there. And the angel called out, and the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham. Abraham, he said, here am I. Here am I. Lay no harm to the lad, for I know that what? That you fear God. I know you fear God. Seeing you wouldn't even hold back. You wouldn't hold back your only son. You wouldn't hold back your only son from me. Abraham lifted his eyes. Behind him, a ram was caught by the horns in the thicket. Where was the ram the whole time? Was it there? God is God. Remember, we're talking about God, G-O, capital, the Lord, capitals, whatever. He knows, he can do. So they took the ram and offered that. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, L, capital Lord, in all caps, it shall be seen. What do we see expressed in the character of Abraham here? We see obedience. We see obedience expressed. What else do we see? Yieldedness. He was yielding to what God had asked him to do. He was willing to follow that. Why did I say that? I questioned myself and I asked a question to you. How is your obedience? How is your yieldedness to what God wants you to do? Or what God wants New Beginnings to do? That would probably be a good question too. I think we would be in that sphere right now. How do you want us to go forth? The angel called Abraham the second time out of heaven. Because thou hast done this thing and you didn't withhold your son, thine only son, he says, then what? That a blessing I will bless thee, he says in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee and multiply, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, which Anna likes to take pictures of, the stars in the heaven, and as the sand of the sea, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in all thy seed all the nations of the earth shall what? They shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And I have written down here called the trickle-down effect. It was the faith expressed, it was obedience, it was a yieldness, and now, as we see, you will be blessed, multiplying. You start multiplying, what happens? Where's the math people at? You start multiplying a number, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, right. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, we see that the multiplying, the sands of the sea. You ever go to the seashore, the shore, and pick up a handful of sand, and then put it on something and try to count all the grains of sand? Yes. The impact of obedience has effect on all nations. The importance of obedience, how do you practice obedience in your life, is my question to you. And I have written here, be still and know that I am God, as we were singing about this morning. Be still. It's hard for us to be quiet and to listen. It's hard for me. The next one we want to go to, we looked at Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. And have you seen that taking place in your lifetime? How God has provided for you in ways that you didn't even expect would take place? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you, the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. Here we have the children of Israel, and they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea with the Egyptians pursuing their labor force. Their labor force has just left town. And therefore, they're saying, what's going to happen now? The labor force gone, the economy's going to go sour. But we see Moses and the children of Israel sang a song of praise unto the Lord for the protection upon them. For there is what? There is no God like you. There is no God like you. What do we sing? We sing that song sometimes. There is no God like thee. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are in the sea. God prepared the dry, the winds to blow, to put back the water, the dry land for the Israelites to cross over. And then, whose battle is it? It's God's battle. And God brought forth the waters upon the Egyptians. And those chariots didn't do too well in the mud. So, they were singing, triumphantly. They were having a praise meeting. So, they're moving along. They're coming off a real spiritual high, these Israelite folks, that we look at sometimes and say, oh, what, they did that? Boy, they were goofy. What was wrong with them? Didn't they understand? Well, they came off this high, and Moses was bringing the children of Israel from the Red Sea into the wilderness of Shur. They were in the wilderness for 3 days, and what happened? There was no water. No water available. Well, we get thirsty at times, and sometimes we wish we had something to drink. Even when we think we're thirsty, we're still not dried out yet. So they came to Moriah where what? There was water. There was water. Well, that's exciting. There's water here. Woo! I bet everybody got excited about that. But what happened? The water was bitter. The water was bitter there, and they weren't able to drink it. The name Moriah, because of bitter water. People murmured and quarreled against Moses as if he was the one that caused the situation. This man, Moses, he got the blame. He got the raspberries for not doing things right and stuff. But there are some times that Moses didn't have the situation that he could change it. It was somebody else, but Moses got the blame for it. Any of you ever get in that place where you get blamed for something? We could probably talk about that further too. Blame for other things that didn't happen, that you didn't have control over. What shall you drink? 4 days early, the Lord saved their lives, which is more important than having something to drink. Think about that. If you're dead, you don't need any water anymore. Can you see the little blessings that God gives you? Discouragement had set in with these folks. Here they were coming just off this high, and now they're getting discouraged because of all this thing. So Moses cries out to the Lord. Moses stands in the gap again. Just as God is the guide of all of us, the guides is the chief shepherd for our understanding. And God answered his prayer. God answers his prayer. The Lord showed Moses a tree to cast in the water. They didn't have any UV lights or water softeners or chemicals to take care of the water situation. So they went out and got a tree. That's pretty good. You know, in our lives, there are times we need objects. We need to see things, and God provides that for us. Other times, God just cures the water situation and makes it fit to drink. But I believe there are times that God uses the tree putting in the water as a way to help our faith. Way to help our faith. Maybe the wood was a particular virtue, but God is to be acknowledged not only in creating of things useful for man, but in discovering its usefulness for situations. So we are God's children. Are we useful in telling the good news and serving others? Are we being useful for that purpose? I would think we are. And as you come through into this new week, watch for the ways that God's going to use you for his service, for his telling the story, for being a help to someone. Someone asked you to help, but, oh, my schedule is so busy, and I have so many other things to do, I can't do that. Really? Let us look. Help. Let us let the Lord show us the important things. The important things. If I say two importants, does that make it really important? So we also see this tree is typical of the cross of Christ, which sweetened the bitter waters of affliction to all the faithful and enables them to rejoice in tribulation. Can you rejoice in tribulation? The tree made the water sweet, the miracle after the Red Sea crossing, the thirst was quenched. It was a time for teaching. It was a time for teaching. So here come the judge. Remember that, some of you older folks? Here come the judge. They were put on trial. They were put on trial now. Spiritual test. They made a statue, an ordinance, and there he proved them. He tells them what to expect in one word. That word is obedience. Obedience. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord and will do right in his sight, and you will give ear, be still and know that I am God, ear to listen to his commands and keep his statutes. Were they released from bondage in Egypt to be their own masters? What do you think? No. They needed to see themselves as God's servants because he loosed their bonds there. We are not saved to serve our own interests. Somebody has Psalm 116, 14 through 19. Psalm 116, 14 through 19.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I am thy servant. I am thy servant. The son of the handmaid has loosed my bounds. Not only that, but these folks had come from Egypt. In Luke, it talks about things that went on in Egypt. We remember things that happened there, like the plagues that came upon him. The blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the boils, the hail, the locust, the darkness, and the killing of the firstborn. I believe their memory served them well as to the plagues in Egypt. That was to help them remember that God would not look past their sins and let them do as they please. God is not a respecter of persons. A rebellious Israelite is no better than a rebellious Egyptian. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That log put in the water. Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins, heals. The last one I want to look at this morning is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, from Exodus 17, that 8 through 16. We have Moses and children of Israel. They're traveling through the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the commands of the Lord. They pinched in Rephidim, and there was no water to drink. They seemed to have this water problem. I think you needed a well driller. But they had God who could provide it. I better not tell the story right now. The people chided it with Moses. Give us that we may drink. Why chide me? Why do you tempt the Lord? These people are thirsty and murmured. Thirsty and murmured. I don't know how many of us probably don't go thirsty too much, but sometimes we do murmur. Maybe I better speak for myself. Wherefore is that thou brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and the cattle? So Keith Green sings a song. So you want to go back to Egypt. Goes back to the year of 1980. Jackson, Mississippi, when that song was popular. At least it was being played in the household we were living in at that time. We'd always want to go back to Egypt. Well, I guess, you know, they were in voluntary service. Yeah, maybe they didn't want to go back to Pennsylvania or Maryland or wherever. Okay, so much for a sidelight there. Moses cries to the Lord, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Been in those situations ever? Lord told Moses to take along elders and the rod that he may smote the river. Take it in thine hand. Behold, I stand before upon the rock in Horeb. Smite the rock, and water shall come forth for the people to drink. The place was called Massah or Meribah because the chiding of the people and because they tempted the Lord. Because they tempted the Lord. Is the Lord among us or not? Through this situation that came out our way. I believe this question is asked by many today. Is the Lord among us or not? Then we see that as we go on here, they were to choose men to fight Amalek. Joshua's men were certainly undisciplined, ill-armed, and used to being in servitude and apt to murmur unto God. He used them to fight against Amalek. The victory over Amalek in the desert because of the willing obedience of those people who were asked to join in. And I think God can take us and use us if we're available. Many times it has to do with our availability to what God has that he wants us to do, our availability. So Amalek was the first nation to fight against Israel. For tomorrow I will go on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand, says Moses. The rod was a banner to encourage the men to fight. Joshua and the men fought. Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the hill. Moses' hands were up. They were winning the battle. Moses' hands went down. They were losing the battle. So the solution to the problem, Aaron and Hur put stones under Moses' hand and stayed there to make sure that his hands stayed up for the fighting of the battle. You might find some of those stories in that book that he was talking about this morning, the interesting things they're going to look at. But you see, when Moses' hands were up, Israel prevailed. Hands down, the Amalekites prevailed. Friends came alongside. Brother and sister came alongside, right? Yeah, brother and sister. Came alongside Moses and held up his arms. My friend, friends, we're here this morning and we have each other. We have God and each other to support one another as we go forth and serve the Lord in His ways and His will that He has for us. I was just reminded this morning as we were singing these songs, this is my prayer in the desert. What did one of those verses say? It says, I am filled to be what? Emptied out. I'm filled to be emptied out. Word of God speak, to be still and know in this place. Here am I to worship. Abraham and Isaac, they went to worship. I never know how much it costs to see my sin on the cross. How wonderful you are to me, Lord. The heart of worship, I'll bring you a song. Abraham brought obedience. Abraham brought obedience. And how great is our God. How great is our God. The names of God. God, God, Lord, Lord, Almighty God, Most High God, Most High Everlasting. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. May we go forth this week knowing that God is with us. He has went to the cross and we have said yes to Him in our lives. Therefore, let us follow and let us go forth in boldness, serving God because He is God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, for watching care over us. Thank you, Father God, for providing in so many ways. Thank you for granting us grace and mercy and forgiveness. And as we leave this place today, may we also grant mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Thank you for being our healer, Lord. And we just thank you that because you have provided, we thank you. Continue healing in our hearts, in our lives, and in our bodies in the name of Jesus. We also thank you, Lord, that you are our banner that we can wave in service for your kingdom, that others may know who you are, and because you live, we also can live. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.